Generate is supporting my vision to improve the financial literacy of 100,000 Kiwis by sponsoring Keep the Change. Cheers, Generate. Head to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to find out more. Getting in the KiwiSaver fund that suits you and your situation is key to making sure you're maximising your investment. Generate are an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of long-term performance, and they can help you do exactly this. Their advisors can meet with you to talk about all your options when it comes to KiwiSaver to help you decide what's best for you. Too many people never get KiwiSaver advice, but not you. Go to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to book a no-obligation chat with a Generate advisor. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited. And of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns. Welcome back. You are listening to another episode of the Keep the Change podcast. And I often say that it's a special episode, but this one truly is, because today I have quite a large announcement. After, I think, 500 episodes, a million downloads, and finally, Keep the Change has a sponsor on board. So I am so stoked to announce that Generate KiwiSaver have come on board to sponsor the Keep the Change podcast, and there is so much cool stuff to come. There'll be different types of content. We're going to go deeper on KiwiSaver as we go over the next year as well. And this will just help more of this content get in front of more Kiwis so that they can improve their financial literacy. So thank you to Generate for supporting my mission to help 100,000 Kiwis improve their financial literacy. And to kick us off today, we're going to be talking to Linus Field from Generate KiwiSaver, who is an advisor on the ground in the KiwiSaver space, so we can learn more about what Generate do and what's actually happening out there in the market. So Linus, mate, thank you for joining me.
Good morning, pal. Congratulations. That's epic.
Yeah.
Great results. No, thanks for having me here. Very excited.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what it is that you do for Generate?
Yeah, of course. So been advising for good 5 years now. It's gone very quickly. So I'm one of their accredited financial advisors. So based in Auckland, but we have a lot of us based nationwide. So we're here to help all Kiwis all over the place. So we are providing no obligation reviews, just a chance for clients to effectively sit down with a human being, establish what their goals are, what they want to achieve, whether it's buying a house, whether they want to retire comfortably. And we're basically putting that plan in place and showing them how they can maximize their KiwiSaver benefits, but also maximize the investment side of things as well.
Nice one. How did you get into this space for yourself personally?
Yeah, absolutely. So bit of funny, I'm born and bred UK. So I was close to Twickenham, home of the rugby. Okay. So Southwest London.
Got a football team?
Football was just... Everyone assumes, yeah, the Brits love a bit of football, but I never got into football. I was track and field and rugby for a fair few years.
First five?
Rugby sevens, and then, from that side. But yeah, no, it was, I graduated from uni, figured out I needed a job, and then I got into UK pension transfers. So that's kind of I was working with an international financial advisory, and then I was offered to open up the new office in New Zealand. And then got introduced to this market effectively. And I was just looking and just found an amazing opportunity with Generate to actually physically get in front of people. And I don't know, as corny as it sounds, basically found my why. It's a very rewarding job to really get people to that next step
Side. Tell us a bit more about that, mate. Like, what do you enjoy about it?
Yeah, I think it's just, honestly, we're probably looking about 75% of people I'm sitting down with. There's just such a, unfortunately, a lack of education in KiwiSaver. I don't know if you're the same growing up at school. You just don't learn about finances. It's pretty phenomenal. And I think a lot of people are working as hard as they can. They're contributing to KiwiSaver, doing everything they need to there. But the second half of KiwiSaver is how that money's invested, who your provider is, what fund type you're in. And this is where people, they have the motivation to get to their future, but they just don't know how to go about it. So Generate, we're actually openly offering that advice. We're giving people that opportunity, and that's been, and people, I get hugs at the end of meetings. Wow. It's people just, it's kind of that epiphany saying, right, I know I'm on the right path finally. Yeah. It's a very big part of the job.
Do you think that a large portion of those people, they just, they don't know that it could be done better?
I think so. I think for a lot of people, you kind of start working when you're fresh out of uni or by any other means, and you just tick a box with your employer to say, I want to put in 3% or 4%. And then what people don't always understand is the IRD. They basically put you into a default fund. And then if, for the most part, some people just don't know who their provider is. They don't know what type of fund they might be in. It might be the wrong type of fund for their personable goals. So I think it's a lot of people just tick the box. It's something that you can use 5, 10, 15 years. So because it's that long-term investment, I just think there's not that urgency to actually get in front of people. But with compounding interest and all of the other terms, the sooner you can get advice, the much more beneficial it will be over long-term.
When you meet with people, what is it, do you think, that helps them like get it or click? Do you have to take them through compounding and show them the difference between, hey, if you stay in this fund versus this one, like what happens in that process that gets them to get it?
Very much so. I think, I guess a personal example I use, and by all means, we're never generated self, we're never promising these results by any means, but I use a quick example of literally if you had about $50,000 just in any investment, 50K lump sum, and you just averaged about an 8% return on a yearly basis, after 30 years, that money is going to, the end value is about $500,000. And that's with 50 and not putting in any more contributions for the next 30 years. And that is saying, right, the investments make a very big difference. So that kind of, few examples, we show projections with fund types, and we do a few calculations to help kind of forecast, show clients what they're on track for. So that's kind of where people really sit back and go, wow, okay, it's not just about contributions. Yeah, making a few tweaks, a few changes can make a big difference as well.
What do you say to those people that say, oh yeah, but what's $500,000 going to be worth in, 30 years? You must hear that too, do you?
Huge amount. And it's the old saying with inflation, $1 million today is worth a lot less in 10, 20, 30 years. I think there's been a few extensive studies. I think there was one by Massey University. It was during the cost of living crisis, maybe a year or two ago, but for a couple kind of living central city, it's advised that you need about $755,000 as a couple living with what's known as a choices lifestyle. So you have a bit of freedom to kind of do what you want, live your own life. But other studies have indicated $1 million is what's actually required. And it depends if your mortgage is paid off. And there's all that. There's all those kind of external factors as well. So I think it's, and that's in today's terms. Again, I think there's another statistic. If we're just going with average house prices, I think it was by the year 2045, an average deposit on a home is going to be $1 million.
I did see that.
It's phenomenal. And then it's kind of, we have parents who are looking at their kids thinking, how can I help my kids save up for a first home when the deposit's going to be $1 million? Seems like an impossible task, but again, compounding interest is on your side. If you can get accounts and a plan set up sooner rather than later, you can get to these stages and really help them.
Yeah, I think the thing that people forget that sort of go out there with that, oh yeah, but what's that going to be worth in X amount of years? They forget that hopefully inflation's not always 5-6%,
right.
That it's averaging say 2%, but if we're getting returns of 8%, then that's our difference that is helping to grow that money. But that whole, well, what's it going to be worth anyway? For me, like that should tell someone, that's even more reason to think about investing in companies and businesses that are trying to beat inflation themselves.
Absolutely, mate. And I think it's, if you've chosen a savings account, investment, whatever it may be, that is to a degree lagging behind inflation. You're losing your purchasing power year to year, just makes it increasingly difficult. So it's really about, absolutely. And I think investments, they're never going to make you $1 million overnight, but it's ticking off every box that you physically can, that you're in control of. And then over time, you are going to see those differences. And it's just putting you in the best position possible rather than just waiting for a miracle to happen, basically. So that's kind of where we can come in and provide that clarity and put people on the right path.
What's the most common thing you see when you meet with people? Because you actually physically go and sit down with them, right?
Yeah, very much so. I've done, interestingly, I meet at cafes, I travel to offices. I've done a few meetings on the bonnet of a ute at a construction site. So we've seen it all. But absolutely, we're going out to actually see people. I think one of the most common things is absolutely people just don't know who their provider is. That's probably the most common. People don't even know their contribution rates. And that is going to be a huge driving factor in terms of getting people to their first home. I think comparatively, and the minimum we compare with our neighbours in Australian Super, the minimum contribution rate is 11%. Where it's 3% in New Zealand.
Voluntary.
That is outstanding. So I think the Australian market is $3 trillion in size. New Zealand is hovering at about 90, 95 billion. So you can see the difference and a big part. They have been going a bit longer, but one of the biggest differences is contributions. So yeah, just basically, I don't know exactly what's happening. I kind of know where it might be. I kind of know where I'm contributing, but it's good to get those details exact, just so you know, and kind of what you're on track for, basically.
It's a little bit of a, you know, with money, we get a bit of that embarrassment about not knowing things, a bit of shame, a bit of fear, all that stuff, and get emotional about it rather than just answering the transactional question of who has your KiwiSaver? And people are scared to actually put their hand up and ask for help or even just say, look, I don't know. I haven't a clue. Can you help me?
Absolutely. And I think there's maybe not for everyone, but I think there can sometimes be a misconception that financial advice is only for the wealthy to a degree. And it's going to cost people a lot of upfront money to actually get some advice and to actually sit down with an advisor. But this is where Generate, we are providing no obligation advice, where effectively it's over phone, over a Zoom call, face-to-face meetings, where we can actually bridge that gap and just really show clients, hey, we're here to firstly educate you, to give you your options, make sure you're informed, and then you can make the decision from there. So I think it's breaking that misconception, that kind of old cliche that it's only for a select group of people. It is for everyone in the country. And I meet with people all sorts, close to retirement. I meet with people at university, just studying, just kind of learning.
Nice.
And we're just setting them on the right path. That's what it's all about.
Do you go into companies or businesses and help, you know, educate 50 of the staff or 20 or 10, that sort of thing?
Yeah, very much so, mate. And I think employers do an amazing job with on the contribution side of things. So they're naturally they're obligated to do that, at least their 3%. Some employers do more, which is terrific. But again, you're breaking KiwiSaver down into what you can do, what your employer does, and then what your provider does. And a lot of employers just don't have the resources and they don't want to basically recommend the wrong product to their employees because it is a personable thing. So yeah, definitely week to week, I do a fair few presentations. I go in the morning, quick 10, 15 minutes, I'll bring the coffees and absolutely, we provide a quick open discussion just to give people some information. And then from there, we can have a more kind of one-to-one interaction because everyone's different. Everyone has different circumstances on there. So
I hear you recently spoke at the Women's Expo.
Yes, great event.
I don't want to, you know, I've heard things, mate. I've heard that maybe you're a model as well.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
Are you sure?
I did one advert back in the day.
Definitely
so
a model.
Can I tick off the box? Yeah,
of course,
maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tick off the box. I'll claim that one. But Women's Expo, I think it was, I think likely one of Generate's first time we've done that event. We do a few of the common home shows around New Zealand. But I think women proportionally to men, it is important to talk about.
Definitely.
The average balance of a woman's KiwiSaver comparatively to a man's is 36% less. That is a startling statistic. And I think we're at this Women's Expo where a lot of it was great. There was makeup stands, it was nutrition, health and fitness. That was kind of the big bulk. And then we were there as one of the only financial advice stands, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think people were so appreciative. We had some great chats, great conversations, and everyone's motivated to do as the best they can and to get themselves into the future that they want to. So there's it was a very good event to be part of.
What would you say to women who potentially haven't, like they understand that there's that gap there, or maybe they've just learned about that for the first time?
Sure.
Because I think that data comes out every year. And I think a year ago it was 20%. Now it's 36%. Yeah. And these things are always moving, right? But what do women need to be thinking about if they have never thought about this stuff before? Like, what can they practically do?
Of course. And I think it does apply to everyone, really. We are naturally cost of living crisis. Times are tough for a lot of people. And I think it's just really highlighting for women and men, if you're people kind of focus on contributions that they think they need to put in more money and that's how it's going to grow. But we are absolutely saying contributions always keep that at a comfortable level. We can work through what that comfortable level may look like, but it's the ability where you can just keep doing what you're doing, but ensuring the investment side of things is at least taken care of, that is a very, very good first step you can take in the right direction. Make sure you're the right provider, the right fund type. Make sure you're not paying too much tax on KiwiSaver. We see a lot of people overpaying on tax as well. Okay. That can be a common thing too. So
is that because they've got their prescribed...
prescribed investor rates, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a lot of people, if they don't know, they can automatically be allocated to the highest bracket. If people have a pause in employment, we have a lot of women going on maternity leave for at least that year, the income may come down to a degree, and then they could be eligible to pay less tax, because you pay your PIR tax. You basically look at the past 2 years, and then with those statistics, then you can determine what tax bracket you're on. But if one of those 2 years is maybe under a certain bracket, then you could be eligible to pay less. So little things like that can really help.
What about even just understanding like risk levels and tolerance and things like that? Because from data that I've read worldwide, and not just KiwiSaver, and this isn't the only reason that there's a gap, but men are quite, you know, let's just take all the risk we can, let's go, right?
Yep.
Whereas women are obviously a bit smarter, and they're like, oh, hang on, you know, I don't know if I should go up that ladder without you know, looking at why it's not stable at the bottom.
Sure.
Yeah. So do we need to be doing more education in that space maybe too, about just that risk is okay over a longer period of time?
Yeah,
and do you do that? Like, is that what you're doing out there in the field?
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely, mate. So yeah, generally KiwiSaver is broken down. You've got your low risk funds, your conservative, you got your medium risk, your balanced, and then you've got the growth funds on the different options. And everyone should seek naturally their own personal advice. All situations are different. Excuse me. So you can tailor the advice to you specifically. But definitely we've found, if you're just looking at, I mean, KiwiSaver has been operating probably around that kind of 16-year period. During that time, we've had a pandemic, we've had huge market crashes in 2022 and all sorts. If you're looking at our long-term averages, the growth funds have done the best. They have outperformed. So past performance never a guarantee for future returns. Things can always change, but we've got a really good kind of long-term data point now where, growth funds are very good. At Generate, as an example, we have over 80% of our members in growth funds, compared to the New Zealand average, where it's around between 40 to 50%.
Really?
Give or take on there.
Wow.
So it shows the value of getting advice, making sure, oh, okay, the growth funds aren't as scary. We can actually explain what your money's investing into, the fact that it is diversified, the fact that they are designed for maybe a little bit more of a long-term investor.
Yeah.
Overall, again, we're not providing advice, but it's just those kind of few factors. It's good to just get the information and people have kind of that epiphany and go from there.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, mate, because I don't know how to do it, but I would assume that sort of the two major life events that we need to be thinking about our KiwiSaver, one would be, are we going to be buying a house in the near future, and can we use KiwiSaver to do that? And secondly, and probably even off the back of that, how do I treat my KiwiSaver differently if you're that profile? And then secondly, I've got a home, I can't access this till I'm 65, therefore I need to understand my age, how long I have till I'm 65 till I can touch it. And that's probably the second type of profile. Is there anything else like around those two types?
Very much so. And I think whether it's first home or retirement, you are probably the two main factors. You're looking at your time frame, because again, if you've got, as an example, my two-year-old son, I've got him in the high-risk fund because he's got 20 years before he's going to be looking to buy his first home. So so even though people, generally speaking, I think when they look at first home, maybe the conservative or the low risk might be a bit of, but you're still looking at what your time frame is. It doesn't matter how old you are. That's kind of the main determining factor, but it's what you're comfortable with and the time frame you're working with. That's kind of the two main factors to kind of determine what fund would be best suited.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to know you can always change your fund. You're never locked into anything. Generate, we provide an option where you can do mix and match options. You can do a little bit in high risk, a little bit in balance.
Okay.
So again, just having those discussions to find a nice comfortable position for clients. That's kind of good from there.
So on kids and KiwiSaver, because some people don't like that, right? Because they don't get they don't have an employer, so they're not getting any contribution there. They don't get the government contribution until they're 18.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
That's just a personal preference where you're basically building them a fund and going, right, let's full send to help them.
Yeah. I had a funny chat with a few clients saying, I want to set something up for my kids, but when they turn 18, I don't want them to touch that money because they're going to spend it on an overseas trip, or they're going to blow the money on a new car, whatever it may be. Yeah. So it's kind of funny example there. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's for parents wanting to set up their kids specifically for a first home, because naturally KiwiSaver can't be used to pay off university fees or to help them buy their first car or to kind of get their to help them pay rent, whatever it may be. If they're confident and comfortable that, they want to set up an account of sorts for that kid's first home, KiwiSaver is terrific because, you don't get the government contributions, you don't get any employer contributions, but you get some great investment returns. And again, with compounding interest, in some cases, KiwiSaver can be a really good alternative compared to maybe putting money in a bank account or a fixed term deposit. Again, depends what you're comfortable with, but there's some good opportunity there as well.
As a mate of mine says, it's a product, KiwiSaver, that basically protects you from yourself, right? So in that instance, like
really good analogy.
The kids, you can't be tempted to grab it to do something with it because you can't touch it, so it's specifically for that first home.
Definitely, absolutely. So exactly that. It's good. It's a focused investment plan, focused investment account for the kids on there, and they know it's going to be from there. And I think sometimes what clients aren't aware of is kids, if they do part-time work, maybe in their teenage years, 15, 16, 17, legally employers don't have to do 3%, but we have seen many who are happy to. And that goes the same for over 65. A lot of people hit 65, they're going to keep working until 70, 75. Yeah. Legally, your employer doesn't have to do their 3%, but many are happy to, because I think at the end of the day, you're still an employee. You should still be treated equally as everyone else, regardless of your age. So I think even for parents, if you've got a couple teenage kids who are doing some part-time work, their employers may do that 3%. So it's worth double checking, and that's a great option.
Say I get to 65 and I've got a decent sum, or I've got anything in my KiwiSaver. Sure. I've like set myself up well for retirement as well, so I don't like need that money, right?
Gotcha.
Can I tap a debit card to that and then just go around like and then just leave it in there?
Is that doable? Okay. We might be looking at that. No, I think it sounds like a very good idea. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Not exactly. So KiwiSaver, when you hit 65, basically, that there's no more lock-ins. So absolutely, you can deposit money, you can withdraw money as freely as you'd like. There's a bit of a lag. So basically, if you had 100 grand in there and you want to take out 50 as just one big lump sum, there are a few forms to fill in, and then you kind of choose your nominated bank account. Once it's there, absolutely, use your credit, your debit card, whatever you may be. Or some people... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, I wonder if that'll come like in time, you know.
Who knows? Definitely.
You can almost just leave the fund there and you go, because I just thought it'd be awesome to, you know, you're 65, you go down to get the paper and the coffee, you pay for that, and then the next week you're checking, like, oh, last week didn't cost me anything.
And I think the kind of small drawback, and this is where I don't want to put your viewers to sleep, but the there is the anti-money laundering rules and everything. So and they're put in place, they're very, very important. So they want to make sure any deposits, any withdrawals, you do have to go through the right means and make sure you're definitely using it for what you say you're going to use it for. So you do have to go through those few checks, but still it's fairly easy, fairly straightforward on there. And we have some clients who after the age of 65, you don't have to just take it all out all as one sum. You can actually take it down on a kind of weekly basis or fortnightly, monthly. So some people, when they stop working, they take out a weekly lump sum to kind of simulate that they're still on a salary, if that kind of makes sense. It could be $500 or $1,000, and that's kind of the idea behind that. Is you keep the big bulk of your money still invested, the idea it can still continue to grow, and then you just draw down on a small amount, and you're still getting that money working hard for you, basically doing it that way.
Back to the kids, when you go out there in the field and you're going to people's homes or meeting with them, is there a little bit more now of a tendency to start thinking about their kids and investing and things like that? I feel like I've noticed it where some parents are saying, okay, if it's too late for me to start investing, let's say they think like that, which may not actually be accurate, but they, you know, why not think about my children? And now that I know this stuff, then I could implement it for them and understand compounding from the age of 5 through to 65 rather than 35 or, 40, for instance.
Absolutely. I had a really nice, from the Women's Expo, met with a lovely mum of two. She brought her 15-year-old son along for the meeting, and that is terrific. Brilliant. We really encouraged it. It was great. He had more questions than her. It was great. And he's doing a few financial classes now. So
yeah.
Absolutely, I think it's slowly introducing that kind of that mentality that it is never ever too late. Whether you're 60, whether you're 10, or yeah, whether you're saving up for your kids or yourself. It is never too late. And I think, yeah, we're slowly starting to see that transition generate. We will be at the forefront of that, providing advice and really sitting down with clients. But yeah, it's really debunking. And then, as you mentioned, just going through those examples, putting it into perspective, yeah, year 2045, you may need, your kids might need $1 million for a deposit. That kind of is really what the catalyst to kind of do something. And yeah, never too late. That is my first and foremost one piece of advice.
Yeah. How many advisors are there for Generate around the country?
Yeah, so we have in-house kind of advisors like myself. We only deal with Generate. So we are probably hovering around 30 nationwide. We have many third-party advisors though who maybe specialize in mortgage brokerage or insurance brokers, and then they can do KiwiSaver on the side and they can advise on that, so they're kind of qualified on both to a degree. So and then we have in-house advisors as well who kind of in the Generate office in the CBD. So a huge number of us nationwide. I mean, I do Zoom meetings with people based in Queenstown. I helped assisted a lady last week who's based in Wanaka. So absolutely, nice. we can reach all ends of the country. Zoom, phone call. I think the one thing that has come out of the pandemic, we used to do only face-to-face meetings, and we do definitely prefer that approach. Money is a personal matter. Mm. It is a very sensitive topic. So it's good to actually form that relationship and really introduce ourselves formally in person. But for those who have busy lives and who might be based in the middle of nowhere, no problem at all. Yeah, we do Zoom and phone meetings as well. Yeah. And we can kind of give it over the phone.
Because it's not just KiwiSaver that Generate do, right? You've got Managed Funds as well outside of. Yeah,
Managed Funds. Yeah, KiwiSaver is definitely our bread and butter. But yeah, Managed Funds, we have an additional product. It's basically an investment account. So some really good options on there as well. Yeah, all the details are on the website for that one.
Are you allowed to, or are you getting in trouble, mate? Tell us what the biggest balance you've seen in KiwiSaver is. Oh,
biggest balance. Wow. So no trouble at all, I think. I've enrolled close to about $500,000. Wow. Yeah, $500,000. I've had a few advisors over $1 million on that side of things. But I think we're still just in the infancy of KiwiSaver. A good comparison, I think Australian super, if an average balance of a 60 to 65 year old is around $300,000. Whereas in New Zealand, the average balance of a 60 to 65 year old is around 50 to 60,000, hovering around there.
Sheesh.
So that's just like, it's just like, it's pretty crazy. So we're doing well, KiwiSaver, but I think once people really start to realize the potential it has with the investments, if they do contribute a little bit more, similar to people in Australia, we're really going to get to those bigger balances. But no, I don't discriminate. We help people with $0 who are just getting started, up to the people who've been saving for 40 years and in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it's interesting. People say, "Oh, you can't compare Australia to New Zealand," but okay, like we can't. Let's say we can't. But the lesson I take out of that is, what do they know that we don't? Like, why are they preparing their people for? So that's the way that I think about it. To go, because for me, I started contributing more than 3%.
Gotcha.
And I know that not everybody's into that, and that's fine. And you would come across, no doubt, heaps of different views around KiwiSaver. But I just sort of looked across the ditch and was like, oh, okay. Look, we don't want to, because I think it's uncomfortable to.
Yep.
But the people over there that do have large resources to pull on for their retirement seem to be a bit more comfortable about it. And I kind of thought, well, that's my lesson. I'm then going to start, you know, preparing a bit sooner and with a bit more seriousness.
Good
to
on you,
it,
mate. Yeah.
Than just going, oh, I can voluntary put in 3 and I can do whatever over here with the money. And that's, you know, each to their own. But I think that's the value of advice, right? Is actually speaking to someone and making sure that it's tailored what you're doing towards your own goals.
Definitely. And I think the Australian super scheme has been going a lot longer. It's an enormous part of their economy, obviously bigger population as well. So there's definitely those huge factors which correlate to bigger balances. And they're working with 3 trillion compared to our 90 billion.
Yeah.
But definitely. I think the I think we generate when we actually sit down with clients. We've got a really good calculator tool that we use at the end. So based on your age, what your current income is, what your current contribution rates are, we can provide some really kind of good projections, basically showing if you stay in the conservative fund, based on 10-year averages, this is what we're expecting for you to maybe be close to at 65. This is in the balanced. This is what it looks like in the growth. And then we can always play, we can play around with the contribution levels too. So saying, let's say, okay, you're comfortable in the growth fund. This is what it's looking like, 3%. This is the impact of 6%. This is the impact of 10. And then again, just showing those figures. I think the first is kind of, it's not necessarily a free way, but definitely I think the investments, it doesn't cost people. You don't have to put in more money. It's no obligation advice. You can at least get some advice there and make a few tweaks. Yeah. That should come first. And then contributions, if you are able to, there's no pressure, but if you are able to contribute more, then we can show you the impact of that as well. But the investments, get that sorted first. There's no pressure there. And then the contributions can come second. And we really want to stress, we never say contribute beyond your means, because naturally people may have other investments that they're involved in, or they've got day-to-day bills, of course, everything else. So we can, just having those discussions, we can kind of find a good level balance, and go from there pretty much.
Mate, I got fascinated about the $500 million KiwiSaver balances. So are there any lessons from those people that, you know, with your insight, what are they high income earners? Do they put in large chunks early? Do they get going early? Yep. You know, anything that we can learn from that?
10% contribution instantly. Really? Yeah. And I can confirm that. So 10%, that was the definitely common trend between all of my kind of biggest clients on that side of things. I think it's those who are past the age of 65, keeping KiwiSaver going, just a really good place to basically stash away some savings, keep money invested in a really good regulated investment with a specialist provider like Generate. So it's that longevity, it's the 10% contributions, and absolutely, it's getting in the right fund. Yeah. It's absolutely, they've at the earlier stages, rather than waiting until 5, 10, 20 years later, they got in the right fund early. And then, yep, the compounding effects are just pretty phenomenal from there. So yeah, contribution would be the first and foremost theme, but those other factors as well, getting in the right fund, really important.
Okay. Mm. I imagine as well, the benefit of using the likes of Generate is that with that market downturn, which you would have gone through, you know, at the start of the pandemic and whatnot.
Sure.
I think for the first time, it was a lot of Kiwis logging in and going, whoa, what's happened to my balance? It's gone down, and not really understanding investing and then moving funds themselves or changing those. Whereas you've almost got a safety net in yourselves to say, hey, like, here's what's happening. Here's, you know, go back to your goals, go back to long-term, that sort of thing. Did you have a fair bit of that going on?
Oh, huge amount. And absolutely, I think we had the global financial crisis naturally in 2008. KiwiSaver had almost just started around that. So
not a good time to start.
So I think, not many people were in KiwiSaver. So a few may have experienced a bit of that volatility, but absolutely.
That probably hurt people from wanting to get into shares and stuff.
Yeah, it's not a great time to start.
Yeah, no.
That's another story.
Yeah, sorry.
For sure. No, you're absolutely right though. And I think you're very much on that same level. Yeah, KiwiSaver, the first big, huge crash, basically, people have experienced. And you're also in lockdown as people, they're arguably not working. They have a lot of time to look at their accounts, and they're looking at it day to day, and there's that stress and the anxiety that comes with that. So again, and if people with a provider where they do not have a financial advisor that they can go to, if it's in a default, if it's whoever else, if they've never sat down with anyone, they don't have anyone they can go to find out, why is this happening? Should I be making adjustments? And so forth. So we had some good conversations. Clients were reaching out to me every single day, and I welcome that. And that's what's really key, just to make sure, okay, you're in a fund still, you got 20 years until retirement. This is why this is happening, and let's stick to the investment plan, or we can make changes if required. But I think a good analogy I use, it's like property investing. Property prices go up, they go down. If they go down, it's not necessarily because it's a bad investment any longer. Generally speaking, it's just on that given day, economic outlooks are tough, things are tricky. So the value of the investment goes down on that given day.
Yeah.
But ideally, it is if you have that time, the idea is to kind of ride the wave, wait for markets to bounce back. And then the hope is you can make a profit on those types of long-term investments. So yeah, kind of sticking to the plan. And we can kind of provide that reassurance, and we're there to calm clients down and kind of make sure it's all okay. We can go from there, basically.
Would you say that Kiwis are probably a little bit too complacent about retirement?
Very good question. I think in some ways, yes. I think a lot of people rely on government super. Yeah. Now that they've just increased that to the dollar, not sure the exact figure, but it equates the current super people would receive from the government. It equates to around 27,000 annually. That is not enough to live off for a lot of people. Yeah. Some people can really reduce their expenses, but the idea is we don't want you to. The idea is we want to get you in a comfortable retirement, so you're enjoying after 40 years, four long decades of work. It's the idea that you now deserve time off to spend time with family, whatever it may be. So we don't want you to be living day to day, really struggling to get by. So yeah, $27,000 a year is not enough. It's basically giving those sorts of statistics where, yep, okay, I can't be complacent anymore. And I think KiwiSaver, again, we've only been operating 15 years compared to UK retirement schemes, Australian super retirement schemes, and many other kind of first world countries. They've been going for far, far longer. So there is maybe a bit more, less complacency. So we're definitely getting there with KiwiSaver, but it's, yeah. I think at the very least, you've got nothing to lose just getting some no cost, no obligation advice. Just sit down with someone, find out what's out there, see if you're on the same path, and then it's always up to you what to do after that. But at least make sure you've got all the info to hand at least, and then you can go from there. Yep.
Lastly, mate, what is it that you love about KiwiSaver?
Oh, a few things. Yeah. A few things. I think, naturally speaking, I think we put into context the employer's contribution. If you're putting in 3% of your money and the employer's putting in their 3%, if you're just ignoring investment returns, you're literally doubling your savings without even having to invest it. You're doing three, they're doing three. That is, you're never going to find investment like that in the world.
No.
Nowhere. 100% investment return, because you're basically doubling your money. That's what I love about KiwiSaver, that you're not the only one putting in money. The government puts in that $500. Your employer is contributing. It is the most effective way to save for a first home and retirement. And I think what I do like is, It's government regulated as well. I think a lot of people might be put off by investing their money because they see stories online, maybe our client invests their money and then the advisor is not regulated, they run away with the money and then they lose everything. And absolutely, and we appreciate those things can happen, but it's really good to know KiwiSaver, government run, government supervisors, heavily regulated. It's a very good first step for clients to learn about finance, to learn about invest. It's most people's first investment account they're ever going to create. And it's a really good starting point for that journey and then getting them on the right path from a financial standpoint. So that's what I like personally.
Nice. Love the passion. You've been doing this. So you've been Generate for over 5 years now.
Yeah, right? Over 5 years now. Yeah. So yeah, I worked for, before the regulation changed, I've been working in KiwiSaver itself longer, but yeah, Generate 5 years now. So yeah, a lot of clients, a lot of meetings I've had. So
what's the total members of Generate?
Yeah, Generate, we've just eclipsed 140,000 clients.
Wow.
Nationwide, 140,000 clients. Obviously, markets fluctuate day to day. We're hovering at around that kind of $5 billion under management.
Yeah.
So it's been a great journey to see the company. And I think we've been growing at such a great rate. In 11 years, we've grown to 140,000 clients. We've had some really good increase because of the fact we're doing it right. We've got ethical policies in place. We're really proud of our long-term performance. People get financial advice. They've got that one-to-one interaction. And we're Kiwi-owned as well, which is a really nice advantage. It's funny, 75% of providers are actually foreign-owned companies. So for Generate, we're owned by Kiwis. We're based here as well. So I think that's kind of our four pillars.
Yeah.
So it's been a great company to work with. We're going about it the right way. By making sure people get that education first, and then hopefully we're a good fit for you. But there's never any obligation to join us. We're there to meet you, make sure you're informed and then you go from there.
Brilliant. Well, if people do want to do a review of the KiwiSaver, generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change. That way, Generate will know that Keep the Change has sent you, and you might end up on the phone to Linus at some stage.
Who knows? Who knows?
The model.
Well, I'll keep that to a minimum, mate. I think I need a few more jobs, yeah, to classify that.
Put it on the CV. But yeah, generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change. That's the link if you do want to go and check that out. But you know, you don't have to go with Generate, for instance, like Linus just said before, but at least get some advice in your life and start learning about this and going back to what we like about KiwiSaver and what we love about it. For me, I just think we're finally getting the snowball rolling in New Zealand with a product that's very broad for people to learn more about investing for themselves, for their kids, about compounding, that it's not scary. Hey, what's this risk thing? Whoa, what happened to the market? Hey, why has my balance gone up? Whoa, why has it gone down?
And definitely.
Yeah, all of that stuff is opening Kiwis' minds to more than just sort of, you know, other ways to do things, or like, oh, she'll be right, mate. And oh, no, you get the pension when you're 65 anyway, so you don't need to worry about it. And then, you know, people don't understand. They get there or get closer and go, whoa, okay. So we've got something now in New Zealand that I think at $100 billion of funds, let's say, is sort of rolling. And I think a lot of people still are just a bit too complacent around their own retirement, around, it's a pretty small balance, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, if you get the right advice and map it towards your goals longer term, then you can understand compounding more and get it to work for you, because everyone wants their money to work for them. But interestingly, people don't go and ask someone like yourself, like, hey, how do I do that? But you guys are standing there saying, hey, we're here if you need, we're all around the country. So I'll let you go, mate. Get back out there and keep doing the work that you're doing and add to those members.
Awesome, mate. No, much appreciated. It's been great to chat. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
I'm sure we will, mate. I'm sure we will. And thanks again to Generate, and thanks to all of the listeners that has made this possible. Without you watching, I doubt that Generate would even want to sponsor this. So, so thank you again to all of you. And there's some more exciting stuff to come, and we'll talk about that in upcoming podcasts.